and welcome to Sunspots. I'm Andrea Pasquale, and I have a very special guest today. She wears a beautiful tiara and a sash, and it is Ms. Wheelchair Arizona 2024, Sharon Malone. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you for having me.
Sharon is taking that title all the way to Grand Rapids, Michigan later on this month for the Ms. Wheelchair America competition. Welcome and congratulations for taking home the Ms. Wheelchair Arizona in February.
Yes.
That must have been very exciting.
Oh, it was very exciting. This is my second time competing, but I was very, very honored to be able to take on this role.
Well, tell me a little bit about the competition. Is it a competition?
It is a competition. It's not like your typical pageant that you would normally see. It's all about advocacy and doing good for the community. And so it's been around for 50 years. So what you do is you're competing for your state to be able to go to the nationals, which is Miss Wheelchair America, where you're competing against other states. And you'll take your platform. My platform was on safety education for people with disabilities. So it's something that I'm super passionate about just because I, of course, am a mom and safety for my children was super important. So it's a very, but people with disabilities are four times more likely to be targeted and assaulted just because of the nature of you know, being disabled. So I want to change those statistics.
Well, let's start kind of from the beginning a little bit. Tell me about your background.
So I was injured in a motor vehicle accident in 2012. I rolled my vehicle about four or five times, and I broke my spine in two places, my T5 and my T12. Broke my pelvis, tore my ACL, fractured my neck. But the T5 and T12 spinal cord injury left me paralyzed from the chest down. I had three children at the time. They were 2, 4, and 7.
Wow.
And so luckily they were not in the vehicle at the time. I was on my way to work. I still don't remember the accident to this day. I don't remember it. And they gave me some good medication too. I was in a medically induced coma for 4 days. Not one of the police officers or firefighters, anyone that was on the scene said there's no way that she's going to make it. And they told my parents that if she'll be lucky if she makes it in the next 24 hours. But they did do the spinal surgery and kind of, you know, repaired my pelvis. And then I was in rehab I was in the ICU for 15 days.
Wow.
And then I had to undo inpatient therapy for 3 months. And then I developed frozen shoulder during the inpatient stay. So I had to go to a skilled nursing facility for another 3 months to be able to recover.
Wow. So
6 months away from my family, yeah, with those, you know, three kids, which was, you know, heartbreak, of
Who
course.
Who took care of the kids?
So I was married initially when the injury happened. My mom did take over. I had a nanny that I would take them to. She came to my house instead and took care of the kids while my, you know, ex-husband worked. And then my mom came over after work and she would cook, clean, take care of the kids, dress, you know, bathe them, put their pajamas on. And so all we had to do was put them to bed. So she would do that every single day.
Were you working at the time?
I was, yes. I was on my way to work, yeah. And
what were you doing?
So I worked for Aflac. yeah, everyone yep. remembers the duck. I was working for Aflac as an insurance agent. So I was on the way to an open enrollment at the time. There was somebody that actually had a video and a camera in their dash. So I did get to see the accident post-injury, which it only took 10 seconds for the entire thing to happen. So I was in the far lane, and something we still don't know to this day because there wasn't anything that wasn't on the phone or anything like that. But something made me swerve into the bank of the freeway. I was on the 202 and just before Kyrene.
Okay.
So on the south 202,
yeah, yeah,
on the way to Tucson kind of area. And I overcorrected and hit somebody in the slow lane. And because mine was a top-heavy car, I had a Lincoln Navigator that's prone to, you know, rollover. So it just kept rolling when I hit the smaller car. They spun. Luckily, they only had a cut on their ear, so thankful for that. But I rolled and then the smash down is what broke my spine. So yeah, my leg was sticking out of the dash. I was underneath the car. So yeah, it was a mess. And I stopped traffic for 55 minutes, but I was ambulanced to Scottsdale Osborne, you know, immediately and had the best surgeon, you know, that's out there. So I'm very, very thankful for that.
Now, after all this rehab and you finally go home, how did that go, you know, with the kids, with everything?
Yeah, it was super tough. It was really tough. I had to foreclose on my two-story and got a single-story home because there was no way that I could be, you know, upstairs anymore. So I got a single-story house. You know, it was, you're trying to be a mom. That was all I worried about, was being a mom when I was in rehab. And then I just kept thinking of all the things, like, what if there's a fire? You know, how am I going to get them out? What if, you know, somebody broke into our home? You know, how do I can't just jump out of bed anymore. You know, what if they're out and about, tried to kidnap my kids? I can't run after them anymore. So I felt very, very vulnerable, very helpless, you know, and I wanted to, you know, kind of be protective of my family. But it was a year post-injury. It was a year to the day that our divorce was final. You know, my ex just could not handle the injury. And I kind of, you know, I kind of knew that from when I was inpatient. I kind of knew that was, and it's inevitable. You know, the statistics say it's 85% of people that go through a traumatic situation end up divorcing. So, so it became, you know, even more difficult because I have one in diapers. I had one I was potty training and one that was in first grade. So I had to learn how to change a diaper, you know, they had to climb on my bed and I would be able, that's way at my level, because I couldn't get on the floor anymore. They didn't have the crib anymore. It had to be in a bed so I could, you know, be able to pick them up. And
so there had to be some home modifications that you had to make too.
Yeah, I had to, front door, back door, and garage door was all cemented so I could roll in. I had to do a roll-in shower. I had to roll, you know, take the cabinets and modify those so I could, you know, go underneath the cabinets. Made some tile instead of carpet because that's super hard to, you know, roll over. Yeah. I did keep it in the kids' rooms because, you know, I'm like, oh, if they fell out of their bed, I didn't want them, you know, falling on a hard floor. So I kept the carpet in there. But it's, everything took, you know, so much more to do. I could, you know, clean their room in like 2 seconds, you know, and now it's like 2 hours. And now they, of course, got sneakier where they would throw things under the bed and you're like, oh yeah, I cleaned it. Because now they know that I can't go underneath there and bend down and go look and go check it. But I would take my grabber and then be like, oh yeah, nuh-uh, you cannot fool this mama. So,
Well, I heard you say something that you wanted to be able to do the same things. You just had to figure out how to do them a little bit differently.
Yeah. And that's what I say with all, you know, when I mentor anybody. There's nothing you can't do. You just got to do it in a different way. So I was very independent before the injury. So I wanted to make sure I'm going to stay that independent person. So I didn't change as a person. The wheelchair just became my legs and how I maneuvered around the world. So I had to, you know, do grocery shopping. Yes, I'm shoveling things places, you know, and everywhere. But I'm like, I can do it. I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it. And what really got me even to, I started driving 10 months post-injury.
Wow.
Because it was like a dagger in the heart when you would just have your kids, you know, at school and they're sick and they need to be picked up. And somebody else had to pick them up. I'm like, oh, just to get a dagger, you know, that's the most hurtful thing is when somebody, you're not the mom. It's like, I thought that's my responsibility. I'm the parent. So I don't want anybody else parenting, you know, my children. So I started driving 10 months post-injury so that I could drive.
And that adaptive car, that was kind of your freedom.
That was a life-changing. And of course, all the kids are in elementary school, so mine's like a transformer car. Mine, kind of the ramp comes down.
You got the cool car.
I got the cool car. So all the kids were like, oh, you know, Mom, I want to be, you know, why don't we have a car like that? And I started volunteering. So I do say, you know, I was like, I worked, you know, over 40 to 60 hours a week. So it's very little time with the kids. So I would miss out on those things at school because I wasn't there. I had to work. And so I was able to volunteer at every single one of their, you know, events at school. I chaperoned on all the trips. I was the cool chaperone, of course.
Okay.
Even my son had a SeaWorld, and that was his sixth grade trip. I was the best, you know, I had to co-chaperone, of course, on that one because it was in California. And I couldn't go on the bus with all the kids, so I had to follow in my car. But the rides at SeaWorld, of course, I'm getting through on the wheelchair access. So we were going round and round and round on that roller coaster while they're just waving to their friends while they're in line, you know, waiting.
We got in first.
We've done it 12 times before you've even done it once. So it was kind of, you know, it was kind of good. So I had that, you know, that moment with him. So he was like, ah, this is great, Mom. So, so they became more compassionate kids, and that's what I'm very thankful for. You know, you have to think of the positive things. I'm alive to be able to raise my kids. I can't even imagine what life would have been had I not made it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, this is nothing. I will take this any day of the week as long as I get to be with my kids.
And how old are your kids now?
Now, they're 14, 16, and 19.
Okay.
So now I'm in the teenagers, which now you wish they were those terrible twos.
I was like, which is easier to take care of?
Yes, no, I'd take those terrible twos any day of the week and twice on Sunday versus teenagers. But it's so I've been through every single stage, you know, of their lives, which, you know, and I've always promised them we've taken them a trip. Every fall break, I make it a commitment that I'm going to do a trip with my kids, because it's all about memories to me. I want them to remember me, you know, as, you know, all those moms. Mom did this for me. Mom and I went this place because, you know, things, toys, this and that, even though, yes, I did spoil them, but, you know, the things that they're going to remember are those trips. So they still remember, you know, all the trips we've been on.
Has it made you a little bit more patient with them?
Yes. Yeah, you have to learn, and you have to learn patience, and you have to learn how to ask for help. And that was very, very difficult for me, because asking for help is just not in my, it's not in my realm. It's really not. I want to do something myself. And I'll still, to this day, if I'm at the grocery store, I will find something that I can grab with to get that thing off the top shelf, you know, and I'm knocking it down.
And
before
I hope it's
I
not
ask.
A giant can as of something.
Long as, as long as it's not glass, I'll be trying to knock it before, you know. I mean, but I do have to learn to, you know, ask somebody, you know, hey, do you mind grabbing that off the shelf for me? But that comes with being 5'3 as well, you know, so don't get me wrong.
I hear you.
We all have those short problems where, you know, that we can't get something. So I have to just, okay, it's okay to ask. So.
Now, how did you get involved with Miss Wheelchair America in Arizona?
Yeah, so it's always been there. I started peer mentoring at the Arizona Spinal Cord Association, and I saw them compete every year, and I would go in and I would volunteer, or I would sit and just, you know, watch the, you know, the show. But I could never participate in it just because one of the requirements is for you to be a U.S. citizen. And I was born in Scotland, so I always had my permanent residence, but I never had my U.S. citizenship. So when 2020 happened, you know, I am like, okay, I know now the importance of voting. And so I started the process of getting my my citizenship. Of course, it was postponed because of COVID and all the other things that were going on. But I did get my citizenship.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So then I'm like, okay, now I can compete. And that's because I wanted to make a difference. And I know I am making a difference in the community. I know all the people and I interact with those people every day, but I still wanted to make that on a national level. And so that's why I wanted to compete for the Miss Wheelchair America. And that way you have a national platform to mm-hmm. participate in. So that's what's making, you know, driving me to do it. I did it last year. I came in second. But this year I was crowned. So,
and so you are heading to Grand Rapids?
Grand Rapids,
in a
yes.
few weeks?
Yes. It's August 19th through the 25th. So it's a week-long competition. And it's again, it's not about, you know, the dresses or things like that. There are personal interviews that they're going to ask you questions about your advocacy, what your platform's about. So that's 3 days of interviews, 3 days of workshops.
Well, we're breaking you now.
Yes, exactly. I'm so used to talking anyway. So I'm, you know, comfortable in that realm. And there's workshops that you get to know the other people, what they're advocating for as well. And you get to see, you know, I'm looking forward to meeting all the different, you know, individuals in their states and their platform. So, and then they do have a speech there, and then they have judging where they're going to ask you questions, and then they do the crowning.
So you've mentioned it's all about advocacy.
Right.
So this is slipping perfectly into my next question. Talk to me about your advocacy.
So on this particular one, for what I picked was safety education with people with disabilities. People with disabilities are 4 times more likely to be targeted and assaulted than our able-bodied counterparts. So that's what I started doing in my research when I was first injured. On the things that I had talked about with, you know, what if there's a fire? You know, how do I get out from being in a wheelchair? Somebody broke into my house. What can I do I can't just jump out of bed. How am I going to save them? What if I'm out and about and they get kidnapped, you know, or somebody tries to take them? I can't run after them anymore. So I really dove into safety and self-defense. And so I started training with the City of Mesa, City of Chandler, City of Phoenix. I went target shooting with, you know, a peer mentoring group called the Next Step Peer Mentoring Group. And then I started doing a self-preservation jiu-jitsu from a wheelchair. So all the things that I could, you know, do to protect them, that's what I, you know, wanted to do. But safety is so broad. So I love to do safety classes. That's what I try to do on a daily basis. But I try and teach people on how they can stay safe.
Are you teaching people with disabilities?
Yes.
Strictly?
Yeah. Senior communities. I mean, even, you know, realtors, college girls, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's, you know, needs safety in their life. So I'm just teaching them, you know, from my perspective, but we are, you know, like I said, more likely to be targeted. And it's not about me, and it's never about gender. It's not about race. It's not, you know, it's not about age. It's just how a predator perceives you on the weakness. How, you know, I want an easy target. And they see this as a wheelchair as an easy target. Like, I can get her and, you know, and this is some sort of weakness and it's not. And they will find out how strong I can possibly be.
What are some examples?
Obviously, you know, I can take, you know, disarm if I needed to, guns, knives. But if they were trying to grab, then I can get out of a wrist grab, or I'll teach you how to do like a throat strike, nose strike, kind of get those, you know, areas where you can get away if they were in a chokehold or something like that. I'm going to teach them how to do that and how to get out of it.
How do people sign up for these classes?
So they always contact me and I can go to their offices, go to their homes. I just had one at Ability 360, mm-hmm. which if you've ever been there, yep. it's, you know, it's an amazing facility. It's one of the independent living centers in the country. Very accessible. I just had one and we advertised for it and people came and I taught them safety. So it's super important. And like I said, it's very passionate because I have kids and I know how people feel on being that vulnerable. And I don't want that to ever happen to somebody. I hear stories every single day. You know, I want to get you before that. I want you to be a hard target versus a soft target. So if I, you know, hear a story after the fact, I just, those kill me. So I try and, you know, make sure I'm more proactive.
Now, you also have a business selling.
Right.
And the business is
called? It's called Damsel in Defense. We're not in distress. We're in defense. But the entire mission really is to equip, empower, and educate people on how to protect themselves against an attacker. So I will, you know, individualize that. I want to make sure that, you know, somebody, what do you worry about the most? Is it somebody breaking into your home? You know, maybe a door alarm or, you know, door lock that will make you feel, you know, safer. If you're out and about and, you know, having a stun device or a pepper spray, would that be something that would be more, are you comfortable with that? Because some people, you know, they're all, of course, here in Arizona, it's an open carry state, but I'm like, I never want to go to that level. That's my plan E. You know, I have a plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. If I have to use my body, you know, that's, but plan E is if I have to, but I don't ever want to go there. You don't ever want to do that. So you just want to be able to say, hey, you know, you've crossed my boundaries. And they'll usually understand that, you know, if you, you know, say, you tell them your boundaries, they'll usually back off.
You're listening to a special presentation of Sunspots with our guest Sharon Malone, Ms. Wheelchair Arizona 2024. And just a reminder that you can access SunSounds on our new smartphone app for Apple and Android phones. Now, you are a mentor.
Yes.
Now, your mentoring is with the Arizona Spinal Cord Association?
Correct, yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yes, I love it. So I put resource backpacks together that will have not only information about Ability 360, about our opioid program, then, of course, all of our community events and all the vendors that are, you know, that are here locally that could help them be independent. That's what you want to be. You want them to get as independent as possible. That's the goal. Be out in the community and not be isolated, because that's what gets the mental side of having a disability can get to you if you're isolated and not being out, you know, able to live life. That's my now, obviously, my motto is live for today, because tomorrow's never promised. Obviously, I learned that by having the accident. Didn't think about that before, but of course, you know, it's at the forefront now. And so being out in the community, and then I'm also an ambassador to the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, and they have resources as well. So I put that in the backpack as well. And then I go to new patients. I'll go to hospitals, I'll go to rehab centers, inpatient, outpatient, and I deliver these backpacks to them. And then if they need somebody, then I'm checking in with them once a month saying, hey, do you have somebody? You know, because at the time you're thinking, all I know I was thinking was, I'm never going to be able to do this again. I'm never going to be able to go to the beach. I'm never going to be able to do this. I'm never going to. Those are all the nevers. Think about, especially being in bed, that's all you're thinking about is the negative part. I'm not going to be able to do this, that, and the next. So I kind of tell them, you know, there is life. I ask them, what did you do before you were injured? That could be, you know, cycling. We have adaptive cycling. You want to hike, and I was hiking. There's adaptive hiking. I played sports. There's adaptive sports. There's millions of different adaptive sports.
And Ability 360 has so much going on there, too.
So much. It has, all of their gym equipment is, you know, is adaptive. And it has an adaptive pool. And then adaptive sports, they're very big into the, you know, the sporting community. So if there's nothing that you can't do, I even started, you know, the scuba diving.
Yeah, that blows me away.
That's one of my favorite things. And that was something that my physical therapist, Dwayne Blau from Neuro and Brain Performance Centers, he's the most amazing guy you will ever meet. If I dream something up that I want to do, he is all there for it. Now, whatever I'm thinking that I couldn't do before, I ask him. I'm like, I really want to do this. He's like, all right, let's do it. and he'll find a way to make it adaptive for me. He's been scuba diving for years, and he's always wanted me to go. There's an adaptive trip, Cozumel, every year, and it's all adaptive. People from, you know, all over the country go. And I started off in the gym, at the pool in Ability 360 just to see if I was something I was interested in. And then I went to one of the local pools to get my certification. And then they take you to either Bartlett or Lake Pleasant. Bartlett's very much adaptable compared to Lake Pleasant, just because the owner of actually that lake is a quadriplegic. So he made that more adaptive to people with disabilities. So that was my open water, which is super dirty, and it's never anything like Cozumel. That is a, but you can't see, you know, 2 feet in front of you compared to seeing, you know, all crystal clear waters in Cozumel. And then, so my first trip was in Cozumel. But he's my physical therapist is my buddy diver. You'll have a buddy diver that goes with you, and I just kind of float. I always joke about it because they say, you know, if you see a shark, you know, you're not supposed to kick. I'm like, what? Won't have that problem. So
now, how long ago was that? So your first trip to Cozumel?
My first one, I got certified in 2019, but my first trip was in 2021. Okay. Because of the COVID restrictions.
And I also heard you went skydiving.
Yeah.
Tell me about the skydiving.
I know, the skydiving. That's crazy. I love. I started off with the iFly. They do have a disability night. So that was my first. And of course, again, it was my physical therapist who was there for me there, you know, to suit me up and get me going. And they just, you know, shove you in there and just, you know, off you go. And you kind of have to adapt, you know, you have to tie, it was tied my legs so they weren't like flapping all over the place. Cause that was one thing my dad, when I was at SeaWorld, oh my gosh, we're on the roller coaster, because I'll still do that. I do roller coasters. Whatever it is extreme, I do it. If you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it just to tell you that yes, I can. But he saw my legs like dangling, and he's having a heart attack back there, and I'm just like, woo, you know. But yeah, so when you do the skydiving, it's just, you know, it's one of those things that you just – it's on the bucket list. I'm like, you tell me I can't do something, I'm just going to do tandem jump.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. I feel like I'm never going to say I regret anything at this point. You know, I've gone the places I've wanted to do. Sure, there's still some more I want to do. But if anything ever happened, I can say I'm satisfied with. And I tell people that when they say, oh, yeah, I want to do that, I might do it now. You know, because don't put things off because, yeah, we're never going to have, I don't have time. I mean, I'm going constantly, so I don't have time either, but I do it because I know that, you know, if I may not get the chance to do it again, so just do it.
Do you have any current challenges?
There's always going to be your health, you know, the health challenges. That it's an up and down process, but that's, you know, I think everybody has that. I mean, it's so you've got to get into that mental state that it's not just me that's going through this. This is life. You're always going to have, nothing is sunshine and roses, you know, all the time. So, we go through the health issues on a daily basis, and, you know, things don't work the same as, you know, you used to. So it's kind of speeds up the process of the things that, you know, normally happen later on in life. But
what do you want to do next?
My goal is when my daughter wants to go after her graduation to Europe. All my family's in Scotland, so I've never gone post-injury to Europe. So I do want to go to Italy. That is my next adventure, is going to be going to Italy, Paris, London, you know, with my two girls. So that's my next challenge.
All right. A few other random questions. Favorite cake?
Ooh. I would say, I mean, I really love a good strawberry shortcake. Is probably one of my favorites. But yeah, There's all kinds of desserts. I don't think I really have a favorite. I just like eat them all.
Do you have a favorite pie?
I like apple pie. Yeah, okay. Apple pie with my whipped cream. I can do that all day.
Your favorite album?
Ooh. I was,
or two.
I was going into, I always had my heavy metal days. So when I was, so I will put on those records any day of the week, the Motley Crue and all of those heavy metal bands and Guns N' Roses. Those were all my albums that I would listen to over and over.
Do you have a favorite movie?
My favorite movie is obviously still Magnolias is my favorite movie of all time. Yeah.
All right. Now, you have Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yep.
Coming up August 19th through 25th.
Yep.
You have a GoFundMe page for
this. I do. Yes. Yes, we have to raise funds to be able to not only to travel to Michigan, but of course we're going to be doing, a lot of places that we're going to need to go and conferences and speaking engagements, et cetera. So those all are going to go towards the travel costs of being able to, do that platform and be doing it on a national level. So.
And you also have a lot of really cool YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So anyone wants to learn more about you, they could go to YouTube.
Yes.
Sharon Malone.
Yes.
And how do they contact you? If someone wants to contact you for one of your classes or anything.
So I always, my cell phone is, the 480-353-7564. My email is the smalone10@cox.net. If you're interested in any of those self-defense products, it is mydamselpro.net/pro20,000. That is my business products that you can see. But then you can always contact me and I can always kind of customize for you.
Okay. Well, we wish you luck in Grand Rapids.
Thank you so much.
I personally think you're going to win. I don't think anyone else will stand a chance. So you're going to.
I want to bring it home for Arizona because it hasn't been in Arizona. So we deserve it. And I'm hoping to make everybody proud.
You get another tiara?
So we do get another tiara.
Oh.
I know. Yes. Okay. Looking forward to that.
This tiara is just so sparkly. And you
stunning.
Have one giant crystal in the center. And the lights in the studio here are just picking it up. And it's just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Everywhere I go, I see, and especially it's what's inspiring is when you see the little girls. They're like, they're like, Mommy, she's a princess. I'm like, oh, I just love you. I just, want to hug you. And I just want them, to say, like, aspire, have that hope that there is, especially for people with disabilities, that there is hope,
and
after.
Princesses all look different.
And princesses all look different. There's just came out with a new power chair Barbie that we just saw on social media. I'm like, see, we're starting to get represented. It's unfortunate that, but I don't see it as this is just like I said, this is just how I get around. This is just my legs. That's all. It's just how I get around. So I've got a powered assist that's on my wheelchair so I can just take off just as fast as my kids. I'll be like, all right, let's go.
Keep up with mom.
Keep up with mom. But don't get me wrong. I might run into walls and things like that, but speeding around, but it's still, it gets me around. So it's great when you're going around to all the theme parks, et cetera. I don't have to be, because I don't like to be pushed. I want to do things myself. And so having that independence again, anything that you can do to get independent is the goal. And that's, again, why I do the mentoring. When I go into the room, say, there's nothing. And I tell them about all the things that I do. And they're like, oh, well, there is a possibility of having life after an injury. So
it's not about what you can't do. It's how do you do what you want to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's coming from someone, you know, like, yeah, you know, I went scuba diving. Yeah, I went skydiving. And well, you're worried about, you know, making a cake, going grocery shop. Oh, that's nothing.
That's a piece of cake.
Yeah, yeah. Piece of cake. Here, hold
no
my
pun
beer.
Intended. I literally put the grocery bag around my neck and I was shoveling things in that, you know, in that bag and just being able to do it. Of course, now I am a Walmart delivery girl. But it was about proving to myself that I can do it, you know. So I am addicted to that. I'm not going to lie. It's much easier now, especially, you know, with when you have, you know.
When you have a busy schedule.
When you have a busy schedule, yeah. So there's, you know, not only the business, but, you know, the wheelchair, the, you know, spinal cord, you know, and, you know, things like that. It's just, it's go, go, go every single day. And some of my friends will say that. They're like, you really make me feel like I'm not doing enough here. Because they were in every single sport. I mean, it didn't matter what it was. It was whether it was soccer, you know, basketball, football, I guess, and volleyball and dance and gymnastics and this and that. And I would be like, da-da-da-da. It's like drop one off and pick up. So, and it was really hard being, you know, a single mom. That's a tough, you know, and parenting like it doesn't come with a handbook anyway. Wish it was, or then I'd be a millionaire. But it made it even, you know, a little bit more challenging, but they've adapted as well. So, and I always felt that I'm like, is it okay if I come to your open, you know, freshman orientation? They're like, well, why wouldn't it be? You know, instead of being, I was always like, oh, are you going to be embarrassed by me, you know, being in a wheelchair? And they're like, no. You know, why would I? And that's the education that you're doing. And, you know, even with, I met with the superintendent of the Mesa Public Schools, Andy Furlish, amazing woman. And I was like, you know, what about safety with, you know, how are you doing that, you know, in the classrooms? How are they getting out safely? You know, do you have protocols in place? And she had all the officers there, you know, that are from each department, to be able to answer my questions, to be able to, hey, is this accessible? We want to make things, you know, as accessible. We don't want to have the bullying. We don't want to have, you know, the safety issues that we're having. And that was great that we were able to have that conversation. And she was super open to, you know, understanding where it's coming from a disability perspective. And that's what I hope to continue to do. And it's not just about safety. It's, you know, I'm lobbying for everything that's available, whether it be, you know, accessible travel or transportation or, you know, whatever I can do to use my platform to get to those lawmakers. I've got the partnership with the City of Chandler, you know, Police Department, and they have a safety program. And so they were willing to come out and teach, you know, and help with the disability community as well. So having those connections and being able to use my platform to be able to spread awareness. That's what it's really advocacy is about, spreading awareness about what is important to, you know, our community.
And I'm sure you're bringing things to the forefront that they may not have thought about or may have just been in the back of their mind, but you're going, hey, what about me? What about this situation?
Yes. You know, that was, you know, I mean, I'm finding out the realization every single day. And when I go on to these different councils, like I didn't think about that. And maybe we should. I started a parenting and pregnancy. I was started to be a part of that because I was a parent. And people don't think that they can, you know, have kids after, you know, having a disability. Oh, yes, you can. You know, there again, there's nothing you can't do. So, you know, but we need resources. There's not a lot of doctors out there that may, you know, understand people that, you know, with disabilities and their risks, et cetera, and their process on having adaptive.
You've been working with, is it?
April Reed.
NAU?
And NAU and the U of A, yeah, doing a collaboration, you know, to get that. And now we're going to start year two. So We did parenting nights at Ability 360. So to get parents out there that are with disabilities, they might need a night out as well, yeah, away from, you know, kids. But it's making people aware that there, you know, there are things that you can do. So that's what it's all about.
Well, it's been lovely, lovely talking to you.
Thank you
so much. And I want to hear how you make out.
Yes, absolutely.
In Michigan.
It is going to be live streamed. I'm waiting for it. We'll get that link. And so it is going to be televised on the crowning, the speeches and the crowning. So
okay.
I hope to everyone will, you know, tune in and like I said, hopefully I bring it home for Arizona.
We're looking forward to that. Well, you've been listening to a special presentation of Sunspots with Miss Wheelchair Arizona, Sharon Malone. Sharon is getting set to go to Michigan to compete in the Ms. Wheelchair America pageant. Now, if you missed any part of this program, you can always find it on our website on our on-demand page under specials. Just go to sunsounds.org. Broadcast info and audio, and then click on demand. My name is Andrea Pasquale. Thank you so much for joining me today. And you can hear more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona. And thank you so much for joining me today, Sharon.
Oh, thank you so much.